Hail and well met, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Mildly Alarming Podcast. This is the first edition of the Mildly Alarming Podcast Plays a Board Game. And so I'm, once again, as usual, as always, as ever.
Also, too.
In addition. I'm Tom.
I'm Johannes.
And we're going to play a board game that we've got. So it turns out that in the next town over from the town where at least one of us lives, there's a small board gaming company that knows Johannes' sister. I guess the members of the company know.
Well, I guess federal law now says that a corporation is a person, right?
So the
company knows my sister.
Right, the company knows his sister.
Actually, the company knows someone who knows my sister. That's how that happens.
The company knows the corporation that your sister is incorporated as?
Sure, yeah.
Fair enough. Via the internet, we contacted them and spoke to them and begged them to give us advice on how to make board games. It was shameless and really quite pathetic.
Oh, yeah.
And what wound up happening is
I told them I liked Michael Bolton. That's not true. That was just a reference to Office Space.
That's such a
shameless
good movie.
Reference.
It's a good film, though.
I liked it. Did you see the thing that just came out? It was Michael Bolton reenacting, like, green screened into scenes from Office Space as the character Michael Bolton. It was pretty amazing.
You can't see it, but I'm making the most delighted face I know how to make right now.
Yeah.
So anyway, this board game company, which is not on the box of the game that I have in my hand because they appear to have changed their name in the midterm, but what were they called again?
Dogmite Games.
Dogmite Games sent us a couple of copies of two of their games, Livestock Uprising and Lake Billy.
Which is a card game.
It's a card game. And we're going to give Lake Billy a try tonight on the show.
So this is our first time, other than glancing at the rule book earlier, playing this game at all. So Tom's
They also sent us a nice, finely handcrafted wooden dice box.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're into that kind of a thing, I would highly recommend Dogmite for your dice box needs. It's pretty cool. It's got like a dragon in metal on the top, and you slide the top off, and you can put your dice in. It's got some cool felt on the inside.
Yeah, check them out online at dogmite.com. That's dogmight.com. They've also got some other cool stuff. They have this thing they call the Adventure Case. That's like the dice box, but it's got like, it's really nicely handcrafted wood, and you can actually get custom emblems on them. Tom's has a little like dragon on it, but
it's
there's a bunch of different emblems they have.
I have to keep it outside of my bedroom because I can't sleep at night if it's in there.
Yeah, the Adventure Case has like wings that fold out, so there's like a cupboard inside of your box and like a big DM screen. They've also got card boxes and some other good stuff, so give them a look.
Dogmite Incidentally did not pay us for this endorsement. We just liked the box a lot.
Also, they did sort of pay us by giving us the box.
Is that what they did?
Sure.
Is that payment?
Why not?
Okay. Anyway, we liked it, so
it is
works
nice.
Out okay. So we're gonna play Lake Billy here. So I'm just gonna open up the box a little bit. I'm just gonna take the lid off and get to the rich, creamy nougat center.
Just watching the seconds tick by. Oh, he got it.
Got it. Okay. So Lake Billy, and the cards boxes are not unwrapped yet, even. So we gotta open a knife and tear it, and Johannes has the knife and I don't have one, so I'm just trying to do it with my fingers here, and then I'm gonna just swap. Okay, good, there we go. Johannes carries a knife everywhere he goes because you never know when you're gonna have to cut a man.
It's true. Turns out most of the time you have to cut a man.
Always cut a man. Okay, so we got Lake Billy going on here. Lake Billy is a card game where you knock your mic stand over and it almost falls into your face. And then you put it back, and then you open the rule book, and you look at what's going on.
I just came across two cards in a row, one called Take a Deuce, which has a picture of a man on a toilet, and the following one called Sneaky Submarine, which juxtaposed against one another, and then Refloat a Boat. Just so many things that aren't intended to be poop jokes, but are now.
All right.
Gotta find the top 10 are location cards in one of these. That's what we gotta separate out.
And then also part of the setup is that Tom will drop the cards
on the
ground, and they're all on the ground now.
That's like the, what's the method that we talked about for shuffling? The pile method, you know? You just throw them on the ground.
Just make a pile.
You know, that's one we missed when we did that episode. 52 card pickup. Just shout 52 card pickup and then spray them all over the room and watch your dumb younger siblings scramble trying to pick them up while you pretend to time them.
I don't have any younger siblings, so I don't know what that's like.
Is
that what my sisters were doing?
Did you play 52 card pickup? Because I was going to say, I never did this to any of my one younger sibling, but it was certainly done to me as a younger sibling. I think you have all the location cards.
I think you're right. There are, what, 10 of them?
There should be 10 location cards, and there are 115 other cards, which we just shuffled together.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah. Okay, so here's the rest of the cards. So we shuffle the locations together. So the goal in Lake Billy's, as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, my esteemed colleague, are you pile shuffling over
there? Yeah, but I'll try to be quick about it while you babble.
Okay. Is that you are a Lake Billy, which is like a hillbilly, only on a lake. And you are trying to get your drunk ass to a party somewhere on the lake. And you've got some other people on your boat, maybe. You're going to get them there. And your goal, I think, is to get the most drunken idiots to that place as you can. And, you know, Lake Billy, the term, is an interesting term to me because it's one of those sort of subdivisions of redneck or country sumbitch that it's really good to know about. Like, you know, if you just say redneck, that covers a lot of ground. Like, you've got your southern rednecks, you got your New England rednecks out there in the sticks, you got your Michigan hillbillies, you got your guys out there in the deserts in Arizona, all kinds of country-ass folk. But you really should probably be able to more finely delineate between them. One of the best terms of this kind that I ever encountered came from my good buddy, the inestimable Mr. Hart, who I hope is listening to this, but I doubt actually is, who we lived up north in Michigan's Upper Peninsula at the time, and he was describing a bar for me that we were considering going to, and he said, "No, we don't want to go there, man. It's full of slednecks." And I'm like,
"Nice."
I'm like,
"That's a Uber term if ever I've heard one."
Absolutely. And I'm like, "Sir, you need to explain to me what you mean by sledneck. I'm pretty sure I get it, but I want to hear it from you." And he said, "You know, slednecks, they ride snowmobiles all over the place, and they're rednecks, but, you know, on sleds."
Right.
So slednecks.
That's pretty good. I think I've never actually heard the term Lake Billy, but given that this company is from pretty much my backyard, it's probably local parlance that I just haven't run across yet. Where I and my wife live, there are lakes everywhere, and they're all connected, mostly connected by rivers. There's this chain of lakes, and it makes it impossible to drive anywhere because you're always driving around a lake. But they all connect to one another, so if you have a boat or, you know, something that floats in some sort of propeller, you can basically get from one to the other, and there are a lot of, like, lakefront bars that you can drive your boat up to, and, mm-hmm. and just places, you know, sandbars and stuff where people just congregate in their boats and get lit on the weekends. And so I think that's what this is probably referencing. It's pretty funny how close to home it is and still not entirely familiar to me, at least as a term.
You ever think about buying a boat?
Yeah, actually... I have a rowboat, and that's more with an electric motor.
I didn't know you had a rowboat.
Yeah, and like that's more than a lot of these people who go out on the lakes have. So I could probably.
What are they going on the lake in?
So where my aunt and uncle live, their community on the lake has what they call electric chairs, and it's like everyone who lives on the lake, and they're not even in a particularly like Lake Billy. I'll get there. They're not even in a particularly like Lake Billy, you know, trashy mm-hmm. area, but it used to be at one point, and there's these holdovers. So an electric chair is where you get an old paddle boat, pontoon boat, and you rip the whole top off of it. So you just have the frame and the pontoons, and you put a platform and the most comfortable lawn chair you can get and mount it to it. And then you put the biggest electric motor on it that you can put on it. And you just have like a one-man boat that you can just rocket around the lake on. And that's Tom's wife is in the house here, just not on mic, and she looks just super excited about this.
I want one.
Yeah, my uncle's like greatest goal in life right now is to get a hold of one of these old pontoon boats so he can make himself a nice electric chair.
I can't imagine they're expensive.
No, but you got like they don't make them that way anymore. They're all like plastic and fiberglass. You got to find an old one and rip the top.
So it's
off
harder
of it.
To it's harder to modify.
Yeah. Plus, at some point, the investment's just too much to be worth making your dumb toy.
Your electric chair out of.
So we're both supposed to start, I think, with 7 cards in hand, and the rules say.
Hold on, I'm knocking over my mic stand again.
You're good at that.
There's a reason you're the technical expert, and I'm I guess I would be the talent in that case, but that can't be right.
There's your cards.
Oh, thanks.
So the first thing is, if you look at your hand here and you don't have a single boat card in it, you're allowed to take a mulligan and just discard that whole hand.
Oh, I got boats on boats, man. I'm on a boat. take a good hard look at the etc.
And I actually do not have a boat.
Really? You don't have a boat?
I don't have a boat, so I'm going to...
I never thought you'd be on a boat.
What's the next line?
I never thought I'd be on a boat. It's a big blue watery road.
Big blue watery road.
Or something like that.
Poseidon, look at me. Whoa.
So you can tell from what just happened on the recording that one of us has had voice lessons and the other has not.
I've actually never had voice lessons.
Listen, I was about to make a joke that I was the one that had voice lessons, and you didn't really, kind of. I guess
you could have gone for it, but you're talentless.
Yeah. Well, no, I was going to, I guess it kind of works out. I could say I had voice lessons, and that proves how useful those are, but I didn't. I never had voice lessons, because I think singing is for losers and is not a real art. That's not true. I love you guys who can sing. I'm just bitterly, bitterly jealous of you. So there's a pause there because there was a crash and a bang as an object was dropped in the next room. But that made me think, you know what's weird? I remember the name of like a textbook that we had in the first grade.
I don't even remember having textbooks in first grade.
Well, it was like a reader. It had like just a bunch of content in it we had to read.
I don't
like
remember. Stories or I don't something. Remember having a reader in first grade.
We went to the same building.
I know. I remember having a desk. We had those big, heavy desks that opened, and they had, like, storage space and size. And I remember sitting next to, call him?
Don't bring up his name.
We'll call him... No, that's way too close. We'll call him Benjamin.
He's Benjamin. Just Benjamin. Go with Benjamin.
I said, you know who I'm talking about, right? Yeah.
Sure.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll cut that, but I want to make sure we're on the same page so you at least appreciate the story.
Sure.
So I sat next to Benjamin, and we had the desks pushed together into tables, as you do in first grade, and hardly tables because they never matched the right height.
They
right?
were
There's
never
always, like, everything,
the same height.
Your pencil rolled between the cracks, and you couldn't get... And I went to close my desk, and... Like, he just shoved his hand under it, and so I slammed his finger in the desk. And it wasn't like, oh, it was there and I should have looked. It was like, let me quickly shove my hand into your desk as you're closing the lid. And then he starts crying, and like, I don't think I broke his finger, but it was pretty close. Like, it came down hard on his dumb hand. And it was one of those times, you know, in first grade when something bad happens and everyone in the class looks at you and goes, oh, all in unison. How do kids know to do that?
It's instinct.
So anyway, that's what I remember of first grade.
You know, I remember that same kid years later
in
gym, and we were playing kickball or some variant of kickball, only while you were running the bases... Your whole team had to be running in place on the sidelines, or you didn't get the point.
Right.
And so, or you couldn't advance or something. Like, I don't remember the exact rule. And I remember I was running in place, and I'm doing my thing, and I'm miming it right now, and it looks real goofy, and Johannes is kind of hating me now. And next to me, the next kid over was doing it. We were running in place. Everybody else was. But at the end of the line, the kid you're talking about...
Benjamin
was not... He was just like, you know, looking off into space, just in his own world, doing his own thing. And the kid between me and him just shrieked in the most high-pitched, top of his lungs, nightmare hell scream he could manage, Benjamin! And like he leaned in so that his mouth was next to Benny's ear as he shrieked. It was like the freaking Nazgul came to the gym that day. And I remember it clear as day, even though I'm now an elderly man with a lengthy gray beard. I remember Benny putting his hands to his ears in pain, but slowly, so slowly, and like his face slowly clouding over in agony and despair as slowly, so slow, his knees began to rise and fall as he ran in place. But it was more like this devastated trotting in place. And he's just so miserable. He started to cry shortly there, but he was fighting it. He was fighting a mighty battle not to break down crying as this other little head screamed in his ear. And I remember standing there going, this is awful. I should probably just beat the shit out of this kid, but I too am a weak child at this age, and I too would be at the bottom of this pecking order. So I'm sorry, Benny. I'm just going to let you die so that I can go on living.
You know, I remember, like, you look at kids now and you see the things they do to one another and you're just like, wow, kids are mean. What is wrong with kids? But I think back to, you know, first grade, elementary school, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I still remember that kid as I knew him in first grade. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, what the hell was wrong with that kid? What a weirdo. And almost across the board, there are a few exceptions, but almost across the board, those kids were weird all the way through high school.
They were strange.
You know, like, they were, yeah, there's an odd duck, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know. Yeah,
it's super weird.
That was a special
time
in our lives.
You were 6'4" in the first grade, so, I mean, I'm just bringing that up.
I remember one of the girls that, because girls generally grow faster than boys and hit their growth spurts earlier. Mm-hmm. One of the girls in my first grade class was always competing with me for who was taller, and I've never cared. Like, people mm-hmm. who come up to you and you're like, wow, you're 6'6"? Like, well, my brother's 6'7". I'm like, good for him. Actually, it's kind of miserable. You know, the world is not built for people our size, but thanks for telling me that information. So we were, like, close to the same height, and, like, I was taller than her, and then she was taller than me, and then I was taller than her. And it was, like, a whole thing for her and our whole class. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I went to another school for a few years. I came back in high school, and I swear she hadn't grown since, you know, ooh, I left. Like, I was now 6'4", or whatever I was freshman year of high school, and she was, like, 5'6". And I was just like, you know, you're not short. You're pretty average, but you were, like, the one that I was up against in everyone's perceived height race.
And now you are a giant and she is
a mere
mortal. Yeah, now
I'm some sort of freakish monster and you just look like a normal person. So good on
you. You know, I am the exact average height of an American male for my generation.
Yeah?
I'm just right on the money there.
You just couldn't be any more white bread.
I just could not be any more boring than I am.
That was both white bread without an A and with an A. The English language.
Lake Billies.
That's what we're supposed to be doing,
right?
Here.
So we got a deal. We've been shuffling in the meantime. So we got to deal out a lake that we're going to.
Yeah, location.
So I'm gonna lay that down. It's Possum Creek that we're headed to. We're gonna need 11 beers and 16 people.
All right. No. You don't need 11 beers. 11 beers is what you are, what a player is allowed to spend on a turn.
Oh, okay. See, you read the rules more carefully than I did.
Yeah.
And when we get
Which is rare.
And when we get to 16 people or above, that's when Possum Creek is full and the party is in full swing. Also, Possum Creek has the special rule. When a player docks a boat here, every other player draws a card and immediately plays it for free if able. Otherwise, they discard it.
So the point of this game, Tom sort of touched on, we have this location, which has a goal.
That would be Possum Creek.
Yep, Possum Creek. 16, so we're allowed 11 beers per turn, and 16, you need six. A given player needs 16 players on boats docked at Possum Creek to win, or to begin the ending turn.
The ending phase, yeah. And in order to accurately simulate a bunch of lake billies going down to Possum Creek to get all screwed up on moonshine, we will be drinking a beer for each beer that we play in the game.
Oh man, I would play that. That's not true, though. We're drinking our traditional gin and tonics.
Listen, you might survive. I would be dead by the end of the first round.
Why do you think I want to play that game with you?
I made a kind of surprised face.
So reading through the rules, we came across a lot of references. In fact, can I see the rule book so I can get the wording right? It's referenced at least twice that beers versus drinks. Game currency is referred to as beers. So you need to spend beers in order to put people on a boat or to play a card with a boat on it. But they make the distinction twice. Game currency is referred to as beers. A sip of the beverage in your hand is a drink. So we're pretty sure this is supposed to be a drinking game, but it never explicitly references.
It also tells you to use coins or bottle caps to represent beers.
Yeah.
Early on in the game.
I think that's just to track how many you've spent in a turn.
Okay.
So, you know, we should each have 11 coins in front of us here so we can put them out there as we spend them just to keep track. So I have a card. Since we're playing first time here, I'll show my hand a little bit. It's a boat called Ship Happens. It costs 3 beers to play. It can hold 4 people, and it says when played, take 2 drinks. So I assume that means literally take 2 drinks. The reason it's unclear to me is that at the end, where's the other? Can I see the rule book one more time?
Yeah.
The other thing it says is beers left over. Unspent beers do not carry over to the next round. At the end of a player's turn, they may give away any unspent beers as drinks to the other players. Game currency is referred to as beers. A sip of the beverage in your hand is a drink. I guess what that means is if I end the turn and I have three beers left over, I can make you drink three times?
I guess. That would make sense.
But it's not really made clear in the
rulebook. And that fits with the fact that the game is specifically for 21 years and older. But no, you're right. That is not immediately clear. I wonder if that is clarified if you look at the rules demo online. Maybe?
That could be. We probably should have done that. But we didn't.
We're stupid men.
We're just drinking and trying to play this game with microphones on. You might want to grab like 11 pennies here.
All right. 100. Yeah, it's 111. There we go. Okay, good.
All right.
So you want to take the first turn there?
Yeah, sure. Why not? So all I think I need to play a boat first because you can't play guys. You can't play...
Yeah, you can play a boat or you can play a person.
And then events just happen. They cost something. You can either play them on your turn unless they play at any time.
Yep, unless the event specifies where you can play. You know, you don't. You can play at other times.
So I'm going to play this boat. It cost me 5 beers. It's called 36 Seas. As long as this boat is in play and not docked, all skanky people cost 1 less to board any of your boats.
This game is classy as hell.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've spent 5 of my beers. Does it say that I can keep playing cards, or is it I take a turn, you take a turn, I take a turn, you take a turn?
Hold on. Play a boat, play a people, play an event, dock a full boat. No, you can do one of those, and then it's the end of your turn.
Okay, so I've played a boat.
The player may play as many cards as they wish as long as they can pay for them.
Oh.
The player is not obligated to pay for all their cards and may keep cards in their hand when their turn is over. At the end of a turn, a player's turn, they may discard any number of unwanted cards from their hand. They then redraw until they have 7 cards in hand. Player already has 7 or more. They may do not draw. And then leftover beers may go to the next round. So what is... How many beers do we have?
Yeah, what's the distinction between... we have 11 beers in a round, but what distinguishes between a round and a turn?
The amount of beers a player can spend per turn is on the location card next to the beer icon.
Okay, so 11.
Use pennies or bottle caps to keep track of beers as players spend them. The player may play as many cards as they wish as long as they can pay for them.
Okay, so it's only confusing really because there's only 2 of us playing right now. Mm-hmm. So I take as many... I spend as many beers as I can.
Sure.
While
up to 11 total.
On my turn.
Because we're going to Possum Creek.
And when it comes back to me, I will have all 11 beers back again.
Yes.
So what if I don't spend them all, though, I can make you take drinks. Which I guess means we should stop just drinking... on a whim while we're playing, which is what I've been doing. I've just been pounding away. I'm a third of the way done with my G&T here. But I'll try to play by the rules now. So I've played this one. It had to cost me 5 beers. Now I'm going to play the Smelly Hippies, which is 2 people. They cost me 3 beers.
Okay.
It says, my suit is 100% hemp. Let's smoke it on the card. I can fit 7 people on this boat. There are 2 of them. They cost 3 beers, but this boat also says that all skanky people cost 1 less to board any of your boats. So that just means mine.
Are the Smelly Hippies skanky?
They are skanky.
Okay.
So I'm going to spend 2 instead of 3 for them to board. And then I also
The beer rating indicates, because you got to have beer. People are not going to get on your boat.
Yeah. That's just how it, in this area, in the Chain of Lakes, Southeast Michigan kind of region, everyone has a boat. You don't just get on a boat because it's a boat. You get on a boat because...
you can get drunk on that boat.
You're going to get drunk on the boat.
And because you are on an inland lake in Michigan, and Michigan has, you know, several large lakes on it, the Coast Guard is way overstretched and is not going to find you.
Yeah.
So, drunk operating your boat.
Now I'm going to play the Proctologist.
Anyone I'm sorry, the who?
The Proctologist. This is just so classy. Anyone who has ever had a finger up their butt draws a card. I would like to note that Tom drew a card, and I did not. This is going innuendo, is the flavor text.
Dude, you should get that checked. Colon cancer is a real thing.
Yeah, I'm only 28. I don't have to do that yet.
Just saying.
So he goes on there, and that cost me 2 more beers. I've got 3 out of the 7 that my boat can take, and I have 1 beer left at the end of my turn here, so Tom, take a drink.
I gotta take a drink here.
And I have to draw back up to 7.
5, 6, 7.
All right, you done?
I are.
Okay, in keeping with the classy theme here, I'm going to start out by playing the Muff Diver as my first boat.
Yeah, it don't get classier.
And the Muff Diver cost me 2 beers. It can hold 3 people, and as long as the Muff Diver is in play and not docked, all boat cards cost me 1 less to play.
All boat cards cost you 1? Okay, as long as it's not docked.
So then I'm going to play the Shaggin Wagon, which normally costs 4, but it'll only run me 3 here because I got the Muff Diver on there.
Oh, man. Actually, you know what? I'm going to see. Maybe this doesn't work the way I want it to, but... Oh, no. Never mind. Forget it.
The Shaggin Wagon appears to be the top half of a van welded onto a boat.
Classy.
But when I play, I can randomly steal 1 card from any player's hand. Just 1 dang player, not everybody. So I get to nick 1 card.
And I assume it's random, so I'm just going to shuffle these up because I keep my cards in an order that makes any kind of sense to
me. Fair enough.
I like these cards. They shuffle nice.
It's a nice quality, yeah. So I get 1 card from you. Okay, fair enough.
You got the one that I was thinking about playing that doesn't actually work the way I thought it worked.
So now I've got, 6 left. I'm going to play the Outdoorsman, who is free if he's the first person aboard a boat. He'll get aboard the Muff Diver. I will... Oh, this game is good because it lets you find things out about your friends. I will play Gramps.
Oh, no.
Who, let's see here, he costs me 2 beers, but any player, he's sober, and any player who has shit their pants in the last year takes a drink.
Sadly, I don't get to drink.
I'm good for the last year, at least.
Wow.
Let's see here, and that's 2 people aboard it. And then I will go ahead and load the double fister into another one. He lets me use my right hand to steal a random card from a player, and then my left hand to steal a random card from a player.
But since there's only one of us, you just get to steal 2 cards from me?
Yep, but I have to use my right hand and then my left.
Yeah, right. It's important.
It matters.
I assume that means on your right and left side, but I guess it doesn't. Maybe they're assuming you're much drunker than we are already.
I'm not that drunk yet.
So all right, fan them cards.
And there we go. That's the noise I made.
So the question is, I guess I don't draw back up to 7 until the end of my next turn. So I'm just stuck with what I've lost.
It's what it sounds like.
That's
you draw back up to 7 at the end of your turn, yeah.
You got my only other boat.
And then I got 2 beers left. I guess I'll put 1 final guy with those 2 beers into the Muff Diver, that is. And I can do all this, right? Like, I'm not screwing up, right?
I don't think so, as I understand it.
I just put forth the Handlebar, which is a goofy little dude with a handlebar mustache and a shirt that says Mustache Rides 25 Cents. Anyone with a mustache draws 2 free cards and gives away 2 drinks. And if no mustache is present, all players take 2 drinks. So since I have a mustache...
It's personally, person with a mustache.
Yep. Anyone with a mustache, but if none of us had a mustache, we'd all take 2 drinks.
Okay.
But since I have a mustache, I get to draw 2 cards and tell you to drink twice.
Okay. I keep drinking, not realizing it. So this is fine.
And then I guess since I ran out, can I do everything that I did?
I think so. I think it's just on your turn, go until you're out of beers for the turn.
Okay, I'm out of beers now. And since the Muff Diver is now full of people...
You can dock it.
I guess I should dock it, yeah. Okay, so I guess I dock it, discard the people on it.
You discard the people?
When a boat reaches its maximum number of people, it docks at the location. Move the boat card next to the location, discard all of the people on it. The boat is now docked and remains until the game end. Docked boats are permanent and are immune to events and effects.
Okay, and people will, if we run out the deck, which we won't, We'll shuffle back in if the deck runs out.
Yeah.
All right, so I start just with the sad little number of cards that I have.
Because I have been stealing a bunch from you.
Yeah, and I don't get to draw back up to 7 until the end of my turn, as I understand it. So, I'm pretty good here, I think. Oh, classy. Wow. Just so much class going on here. I can play all of these cards. All right, well, we're just going through all of these. Hammered, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, I can't play all of them. Well, we'll do it this way. I'm going to play the Bavarians. I'll hang on to that really classy one.
I'm so excited to find out what it is.
So I'm going
to
play the Bavarians. They're worth 2 people, and they cost me 3 beers. Unless I forgot something about this boat. Yeah, they're not skanky. They're hammered. These are all different card people types on the people cards. So they cost me 3. They're worth 2. And when boarding, give away 3 drinks. So take it away, Tom. 1, 2. Du and Hive. Well, we'll call it 3.
I can take another half if you want.
No, it's good.
Wait, hold on. I have to work in the morning.
Yeah.
Let's behave here.
All right, so that
side story. One time we were playing a drinking game up north, and I wound up 100 drinks in the hole. I'm just saying I don't play a lot of drinking games because of that incident.
This is the first drinking game I've ever played, except for the one that we invented at Northern Ireland. That was really more of a peeing game at a bar than a drinking
game.
Wasn't
that the Seven Seals of the Apocalypse?
The Seven Seals. Yeah. We'll talk about it another time because we're already a ways in here. And then to fill my boat the rest of the way, I'll play the City Slicker. Any player that wears a suit to work takes 3 drinks. Any player that has worked naked draws a card. So I don't think that happens to either of us.
I have to wear business casual to work, so yeah, I think I'm fine there.
I think you're good.
And I've never been a stripper.
So that caused me to. I don't have another boat to play, so I could give Tom 6 drinks right now. But I'm just going to give him 2. Because otherwise we'll have to stop halfway through and pour more drinks.
So that I can throw up.
And Tom will throw up. Good night, Tom's wife.
Good night, my wife.
And now I draw back up to 7 cards.
And are you going to dock your boat, or?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do that. Thank you for reminding me.
So now it's my turn, right? I'm going to start out, I think, by... Let's see here. Yeah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the Man Overboard event.
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to let me discard the double fister from my boat. Get rid of him. He's gone. And that cost me 1 beer. Then I'm going to play the Moonshine Bros for 4 beers. Which forces anyone who has brewed their own booze to take a drink.
Oh, nice. I have done that.
I'm okay, so I'm good so far. And that was worth 3 people. And the Shaggin' Wagon will hold up to 6. Then I'm going to play the Horde of Hillbillies for another 4 beers, which fills up the boat, but it gives me the option to do something when boarding, but I'm not going to take it. I'm just going to discard them, and I'm going to send the boat and call it good.
What would it have done?
It would have let me reveal the top 2 cards of the draw deck and give them to other players, but gotcha. I don't see any reason to do that.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, then
so what are you at there? 6?
I got 2 boats, total of 9, actually.
And I'm at 7 with 1.
And then I draw back up to 7 points.
Correct.
So 4, 5, 6, 7. All right.
All right.
Good God, what happened in this card I just drew?
Well, I'm going to start by playing the Big Kielbasa, which is a boat card. When played, it costs me 4 beers. When played, randomly pick 1 card from each opponent's hand and discard it. Take that one. Tom loses a boat. Called Yeah Boy, B-U-O-Y. As long as this boat is in play and not dock, draw a free card at the beginning of your turn. Nice. Sucker. And then for another 3 beers, I'm going to play the Flounder Pounder, which holds 3. When played, flip the top card of the draw deck and play it for free if able, otherwise discard it. Top card of the draw deck is Trailer Trash. They are hammered. You gonna eat that possum? And I'm gonna put them on the Flounder Pounder. They don't do anything, though. So I have 4 beers left.
Incidentally, this is definitely a drinking game.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. It's not made clear by the rulebook at all, though. I'm going to play the event card, Take a Deuce. No, I'm not. Yes, I am.
Take a
no,
Deuce.
I'm going to hang on to that one. Oh, I regret my decision. I'm going to play... Here's what I'll do. I'm going to play the Bait and Switch, which is free. Discard any number of cards from your hand and redraw that number of cards.
Nice.
So I'm going to discard Banana Hammock and Power Puker.
This game is classy.
It's so classy. And that didn't do
oh,
for
shoot.
Me at
you know,
all
we
I
haven't
wanted.
Been paying attention to the Possum Creek special rule.
Oh, what does it do?
When a player docks a boat here, every other player draws a card and immediately plays it for free if able.
Oh.
Otherwise, they discard it. I completely forgot about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so did I. Well, this doesn't help me all that much, but I'll put... All right, this is the one I've been holding off on, but it's all I've got to do. This is the best one I've got to do, so... The Master Baiters. They're fishermen on the card.
Is that what they are?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're going to love this. The biggest masturbator by vote draws a card, then washes their hands.
We're playing two players. How are we going to vote on that?
Yeah, I vote that it's you.
I vote that it's you.
I guess a tie means we both draw a card and wash our hands.
Hold on. Let me check if there's anything in the rulebook about
ties. I didn't
ties.
See anything about ties.
Some card effects require the table to vote. In the event of a tie, the player who played the card decides the final outcome.
Look, I mean, you get a card, so I guess...
I have to go wash my hands?
I guess, yeah, you get a card and you wash your hands.
All right, I'll be right back.
All right. So classy. Oh. Also, you get to take a drink when you come back.
Oh, good. Is that what happens next?
Because it's the end of my turn, and I'm spending my last beer on that.
All right, my hands are now clean as the new driven snow. Is it my turn?
It is.
After you played the Master Baiters. All right, I will start off my turn by playing the Ship Happens boat, which runs me 3 beers and makes me take 2 drinks.
Did you take your drink for my expended mm-hmm. beer? Good.
And then I'll play the Farmer's Daughter into that boat. Any player who has ever raised a farm animal takes a drink, and if they ate that animal, they draw 2 cards.
I helped other friends with 4-H animals, but I never did my
own. I never really actually raised my own farm animal.
Yeah.
Despite growing up with horses, I didn't participate enough to be said to have raised one.
Right.
And beyond that, I'm done. So I will draw back up to 7.
You want to make me take 6 drinks?
Nah, I'll be... Merciful.
Want to make me make any drinks? I've got half a G&T sitting there.
I'll take 3.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't want to do that one. I really need some low cards. Can you over? You can't overfill a boat, right?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Well, then I'm gonna play the sailors because they're my only 3. They cost 3. Sailors board for free if they fill the boat, and they do, so that don't cost me anything. So that boat docks.
So when you dock a boat at Possum Creek,
sorry,
you throw it everywhere and ruin the entire thing.
I ruined everything.
You destroy it. But when you dock a boat at Possum Creek, every other player draws a card and immediately plays it for free if able.
Go for it.
So I draw. I get to. I'll play it, I guess. It is a sneaky submarine, because hillbillies have those.
Yeah.
And it lets me look at another player's hand, steal 1 card, and put it in my hand.
Oh, jeez. Well, so you get to look at my whole hand?
I get to look at your whole hand, so I look at it.
I'm out of boats, so I can't do anything useful this turn. That does mean I could make you take 11 drinks.
I'm going to steal this one for reasons that you will probably guess when you see what I took.
Did you take taking a deuce? No. I actually wasn't all that aware of what I had in my hand.
Oh, fair enough.
We'll see when it plays, I guess. So
take
a couple drinks and we'll call it even.
My turn?
Yep.
I'm going to finish up my Ship Happens boat that I'm in by playing the Whoppin' Whale for 9 into it.
Dang, that's a big fat lady.
It is. The picture on it is this just grotesque fat woman.
Is she worth more than one person?
She's holding a kielbasa and it says, the flavor text is, do you smell sausage?
Gross.
It makes me uncomfortable, but she immediately fills any boat she boards, regardless of value.
That's pretty majestic.
So that immediately lets me dock the Ship Happens.
Have you won? 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Nope.
I've got 13.
You're at 13.
Here. Oh, I need 16, right. And then these 2 discard.
I'm also at 13.
I got 2 left, so actually I can't play anything else this round.
I'm having a rough time here. I don't have enough boats. Which is to say, I don't have any boats except the one in play right now.
You got that. What is that? The flounder? Oh, you could draw a card, too. for Possum Creek when I played my boat, when I docked my boat.
Right. Still not helpful. I literally can't do anything useful on this turn.
Nothing at all?
There's nothing I can do.
You could redraw. You can discard everything and draw back up. Discard any number of unwanted cards and draw back up to 7.
Oh, does that take up your whole turn, or is that just something
It's something you can do at the end of the turn. So if you have nothing
At the end of my turn, I can do this.
Yeah, but if otherwise, you're just kind of.
Oh, wait, no, I've been looking at this all wrong. I keep looking at the beers and thinking it's the people rating. I can still do some stuff. The Instigator. Yeah, I'm just going to play him.
What's he do?
He's just worth one. If optionally, you may give this part of the card to the player on your left for free, then all players take a drink. But I'm just going to spend 5 to put him on the boat and have filled. Actually, can I do this out of order?
Yeah, whatever.
I'm going to do take a deuce first and steal
the whale
off the top.
The big fat
the
lady.
Whale and the farmer's daughter, who I don't care about. And then.
And then you fill it up and send your boat
in. Fill it.
Which, actually, does that finish us up? That does.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. That puts me at 16. So I win.
Yep.
The end. So I guess the number of drinks, I mean, with more people, it would, well, so that doesn't end the turn. You get to take one more turn. That just begins the final turn. You get to take your last turn. That begins the final round.
Okay, gotcha. So I get one more turn to try to catch you before the game ends?
Yep.
So how many have I got? I've got 13.
In which case, I'm also going to play Dam 'em Up, which play this card at any time to prevent another player from docking any full boats on their turn. So now you can't win.
Okay.
So and it's a free card, so I didn't even need to spend beers on it.
Well, in that case, I'm going to cock block you.
Oh, nice.
I have a card called Cock Blocker, which lets me cancel any event card.
Which you stole from me, and you're not talking into your microphone.
I have a card called Cock Blocker, which lets me block any card that he just played.
All right, so those both go into the discard, and you take your final turn.
I take my final turn. 3, 4, 5. And I just need... I have 13, so I need to get at least 3 people to the thing before it happens, which I can do. I can play a boat for 4, which I will not do its optional ability. I can play some off-duty cops for 3. They're sober, which doesn't matter. But when they board, anyone involved with the fuzz by vote takes 2 drinks. I'm not a cop.
I'm not either.
So no, none of us take any drinks.
I was a paramedic. I could drink. Is that...
That's not really the cops.
Okay.
And then I will play the effing creeper, which is the other one I stole from him, which is who is hammered, and anyone who has paid for a lap dance takes a drink. I've never paid
for
a lap dance.
I've never even been in a situation where a lap dance was an option for pay or otherwise. I mean, I guess I'm married, but...
Listen,
let's not dig too far into this.
If you're paying your wife for a lap dance, your marriage is very different than mine.
Yeah, I'm not.
Fair enough. So anyway, that then is... actually, can I dock a boat if it's not full?
No. I don't believe so. You can't over... You have to exactly fill a boat. You can overshoot the location, but you can't overshoot the number, and you can't dock a not full boat.
In that case, I lose, because I cannot dock that boat.
Haha, dummy.
You're a...
So I win.
He wins that game of Lake Billy's. So Lake Billy's, what do you think?
Overall, I think it was reasonably entertaining. It wasn't as crass as some of the other party games that we've been forced to play. It wasn't quite as elegant as some party-style games that I've played. I mean, like, Apples to Apples is the most party... Like, the most party game-type game that I've gotten into in any way. Dixit, I guess, is kind of party gamey. It was pretty entertaining. I liked, to some degree... See, so I like the get to know your friends, like whoever has by vote, you know,
sure.
Is involved with the cops. That's pretty interesting. But at the same time, that means you have to know who you're playing it with.
Yeah.
Because
that
could make this game horrible for some people.
I'm immediately thinking, like, I've gone to work parties, like Christmas celebrations at work, and people have brought games along and played them. And I'm thinking, this, you don't want to bring this to kind of a scenario. So you definitely don't bring it unless you know everybody's comfortable with that kind of revelation.
Yeah. This brings up a somewhat off topic story of a time when someone in our, you don't know what I'm talking about. So
no, I don't know where you're going with this.
Mine cart. our when we were in high school and Tom DM'd a D&D campaign for us, one of our friends in the campaign had a birthday, and for whatever reason, we all agreed to go out to his, was it his sister or his cousin?
Well, yeah, we played every Saturday, and his birthday happened to fall on it, and it was his sister-in-law, because he had two much older brothers who were both married by that point.
Okay.
And his sister-in-law threw a birthday party for him, and we all of our D&D group went there, and we just had our D&D game at their place that day.
This was a blissful time when we were in high school, and I was just oblivious enough not to be embarrassed by getting really into a D&D campaign in someone's kitchen while they were there, like, making food.
What's it like to
stuff?
Have had that time in your life?
I don't know anymore. But at any rate, so we played our D&D campaign, and then we ate dinner or cake or some combination of the two. And then normally we would have, like, watched a movie and stayed up too late or something. But they were like, no, we're going to play games now. And we're like, we were just playing a game. What are you talking about? And they had us play this game. Do you remember what it was?
Dirty Minds, it was called.
Was it Dirty Minds?
It was Dirty Minds, yeah.
So we're all freshmen in high school.
At most sophomores.
And
somewhere
two,
in that range,
one, yeah. Two or three sophomores, maybe. But mostly freshmen in high school. With two adults. I don't know how old they were. I think of them as in their 30s, but they might have been in their mid to late 20s. I don't know.
Listen, we were freshmen and sophomores in high school. If they were out of high school,
yeah.
They were adults.
Yeah.
There was no distinction between them and our parents at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And so we're playing this game that was just like, in my mind at the time anyway, absolutely filthy. And whether or not it was filthy, it was uncomfortable.
It was not the best.
And like, I think, was I the only one dating anyone at the time? Because I was dating...
I pure straight don't remember.
I was dating someone in the campaign at the time, so like...
The thing that I remember about that night is that we all wound up sitting, like a group of us, I don't remember if you were involved or not, wound up sitting on the couch.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Like playing the game, and we were all, it was a small couch, and so we're all crammed all up in each other's
business.
Well, that's
why I remember it, because I had my girlfriend sitting in my lap.
Oh,
because that was
yeah.
the only way we all fit on the couch.
And we were all crammed. It's close quarters.
It's pretty cramped.
And I remember the friend whose birthday it was, his sibling-in-law, asking, are you normally this close to each other that you would sit this close to one another like this? And I remember thinking, I don't know what's happening in my world, but
where else would we have sat?
I'm really just like, there's a lot of body contact happening, and I'm 15. It's rough. I don't know what's going on. Please let me go home and play Baldur's Gate on my computer.
So anyway, the take home here, I think, is first of all, Lake Billy card game, well, you know, maybe you should keep in mind what type of people you might want to play it with. Isn't as dirty as, what was it, Dirty Minds?
Isn't as dirty as Dirty Minds. Well, there was some dirty stuff in
there. There was
my
some
head.
Dirty
like,
stuff in there.
The Whoppin' Whale, the big fat lady.
Yeah, but she was just a fat lady. Like, it wasn't like, it wasn't dirty like how big is your ding-a-ling dirty.
No, that's
and
true.
And also, maybe when a game designer puts a suggested age range on the box.
Pay attention.
Pay attention to the suggested age range on the box. And don't be creepy strangers who subject freshmen in a high school to a game called Dirty Minds.
I guess my other question for you would be, we didn't pay for the Lake Billy card game. You know, the dog company. What are they called again?
Dogmite.
Dogmite. Sorry, Dogmite. You communicated with him on the internet. I'm just the talent.
Tom doesn't
show.
Listen when I talk that's or read when I email.
That's the thing. That's what I meant by the talent, that I don't listen or read.
Yeah.
We got it for free. They sent it for us to put on our podcast.
And because they're incredibly generous.
Very generous people.
Knowing nothing
I guess
how good or bad our podcast is.
I don't know what the MSRP for Lake Billy is,
yeah.
But like, if you had paid money for this, would you have been disappointed, happy?
Again, I don't know what the MSRP is either. I think it stands to get more fun out of the right group of people than assuming it costs on a similar level mm-hmm. to something like Zombie Dice, which I don't dislike. I think it's got more going on. I think it's more interesting.
I agree. I feel like it depends a lot on getting the Lake Billy jokes.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, if I didn't grow up on a lake, I haven't spent a lot of time in my life on the lake getting drunk.
Mm-hmm.
My drunkenness is more of the college house party
right.
sort.
Right.
So a lot of some of the jokes, well, I got them from listening to country music growing up.
Sure.
They didn't resonate. So I'm like, okay, that's funny. I understand it, but it's eh.
Yeah.
So, but I imagine if I were a Lake Billy, I'd be like, that's Kevin right there on that card. I get it.
Yeah, I have a couple of friends who grew up on the river or on lakes who I think would probably really get into this game. Mm-hmm. I found it entertaining. I didn't think it was bad. I had some questions mechanics-wise about it as I was reading through the rule book, but it really worked out pretty well.
Once we got going, I felt like it made sense. I don't feel like the learning curve was unreasonable.
Yeah.
For the rule book and for the nature of the game.
And neither of us is particularly big on the drinking game genre.
I mentioned the 100 drinks in the hole story.
Yeah. It's not something I've ever really done, except for, yeah, like I said, the one that we made up, there was more of a peeing game than a drinking game.
Mm-hmm.
This was fine. It wasn't offensive too much. I enjoyed it. It wasn't so mechanically sound that taking the drinks out of it, like, I guess you could make it gambling instead of drinking, you know, you like give your put your quarter in or whatever instead of taking a drink.
Possible, okay. Yeah.
So it could work. So I think as a drinking game, it's mechanically sound. I enjoyed what we did here.
I had fun.
I'd like which to see is what work you with want a few to, more people.
Which is what you want to do with a board game. Yeah, two, we're only playing with two people. So in a couple of cases we had mechanics like pick one player and then pick another player and a thing happens where it didn't make sense because there were only the two of us. So I think it definitely would be strengthened mechanically by having a larger group. But I had fun, I guess.
Yeah. I would come down on if you are into party games and drinking games in particular, definitely check it out. If you're not and someone else suggests it and they own it, play it with them. You'll probably have fun.
It's not a mechanically hefty game. It's not something that's going to really scratch your brain, but it is an enjoyable card game.
Yeah. So thanks a lot to Dogmite Games. We'll try to give a playthrough to...
I thought about barking here to show my shout out to you guys, but like the look on his face was just murderous. So
plus, we would have had to try like six takes because it further and further back from the mic because a bark would probably clip and sound horrible.
Woof woof, yo.
Yeah, like exactly. That was take number six. He can't control his woofing. But yeah, thanks to Dogmite Games, hopefully we'll have another one where we take a whack at Livestock Uprising,
which appears to be a strategy, resource gathering strategy game. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot more up Tom's alley.
And
than mine.
He looks like he wants to die.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. So thanks for listening, and let us know if you want to hear more of these.
All right, good night.
Good night.
The Mildly Alarming Podcast is a co-production of WTF, Altarian Public Media, and Mildly Alarming Productions. This episode was produced by Johanna Stauffer and mixed by Johanna Stauffer. Our producers include Johanna Stauffer, Johanna Stauffer, and me, Johanna Stauffer. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, or find our RSS feed at www.mildlyalarming.com.
What are you doing?
Oh,